When you see me here this morning with the title Chinese New Year of the Dog, that means Chinese New Year is very near already. And you are the first assembly to listen to this study of the New Year of the Dog. Next week, I shall be going over to Island Grace Gospel Center, and then after that, we'll have Chinese New Year on the 16th of February. After that, I shall go back to my home assembly, Burma Gospel Hall. I always give them the first preference. The first week of the New Year always belongs to Chinese New Year. And I've done that for many, many years already. And I'll have a rest after that and continue with it on the 4th of March at Sungai Ara Gospel Hall, and then 11th Bukit Mertajam Gospel Hall. And for the first time, Butterworth Gospel Hall is so privileged for me to come back on April the 8th for the second part of Chinese New Year of the Dog. Now, from the time I'm given, for example, today, I may even have to come back for part three. The reason is there's so much for me to say from the study of the dog that I would not like to hurry through. But it does not matter, even if it is outside the Chinese New Year season, for the simple reason that this is a Bible study and not necessarily related to Chinese New Year, so it can never be out of date. I shall also go back to Island Grace Gospel Center for part two. So with this as the introduction, let me now go on to the study of the dog. We start with the dogs, their concepts and comparisons. Now, as I pointed out, 16 February will commence the year of the dog with the celebration of the Chinese New Year. The media, as usual, will make forecasts. There will be Chinese New Year supplements in the newspapers, and there will be a lot of forecast of what kind of year it will be, of what kind of fortune each person will experience in the coming year, and so on, in this year of the dog. People born in the year of the dog, so claim they, are usually independent, sincere, loyal, and decisive, according to Chinese zodiac. They are not afraid of difficulties in daily life. These shining characteristics make them have harmonious relationship with people around. And their strengths are valiant, loyal, responsible, clever, courageous, lively. Now, those of you who are born in the year of the dog, hopefully these are your strengths. What does the Bible have to say about the year of the dog? That we shall see. Anyway, the dog is highly respected by man and has a brilliant record of valiant service to him. The dog is regarded as man's best friend, and numerous stories refer to its faithfulness and loyalty. And if you happen to look at YouTube, you will find a lot of stories about the dog and its faithfulness. A dog is man's good friend who can understand the human spirit and obey its master, whether he is wealthy or not. The Chinese regard it as an auspicious animal. If a dog happens to come to a house, it symbolizes the coming of fortune. Now, this is the worldly aspect and worldly regard and worldly expectation of the year of the dog and of people who are born in the year of the dog. Many of us keep dogs, and we love our dogs, including myself. I also like dogs, and I use it as my profile photo on my ruminations on Facebook. I love dogs too. And I'm taking this opportunity this morning, and now at this stage, to wish all of you a blessed and prosperous Chinese New Year, because I think I may not have time to finish my study for this morning. So let me wish you first before I go away with And it's bad culture in Chinese culture not to wish you a blessed Chinese New Year for the Chinese New Year season. So I wish all of you a blessed Chinese New Year and a prosperous one too. And prosperous is used in the sense of Psalm 1:3 and Joshua 1:8, that you will prosper in the Lord, not prosperity in wealth and so on. And I do so on behalf of myself, my wife and family. And if I don't come to the end of this study and I have to break somewhere, then I have already wished you a blessed Chinese New Year. On with this, we start. Strange, isn't it? That while the Chinese regard the year of the dog as a good year, a blessed year, a wonderful year, there are some circles who don't regard the dog as much as we do. And today, if you go to shopping malls and so on, you don't find the symbol of the dog anywhere around. Although in the zodiac, the 12 animals, you have got the dog there in the last row. All right? And so some of these commercial parties, they want to sell their goods with the zodiac. And so there is one that sells T-shirt with the zodiac symbols. So, in order not to offend these groups who are offended by the dog and the pig, you will find that in that T-shirt, the symbol, the picture of the dog and the pig are missing. That's because they are afraid of the symbol of the dog and the pig. And in their places, they substitute characters and so on. Well, we are not superstitious like that. And in case I misunderstood for the study of this dog, my purpose in speaking on the year of the dog is to seize the opportunity of current interest and direct it to the study of the dog in Scripture. I'm not interested in the superstitious, astrological, and pagan aspects of its celebration, nor do I encourage any believer to do so. I'm not into horoscopes or fortune telling. I'm making this opportunity to do the study of the dog as it appears in Scripture. Therefore, let us look and see what the Bible has to say and to declare about the dog. And to your disappointment, the Bible has a lot of bad things to say about the dog. So, well, with no apologies to the people born in the year of the dog, this is what the Bible says. Alright? Not what I say. What the Bible says. Now, why this study of the dog? Actually, this study of the dog in 2018 was started in the year 1983. 1983, I started to do a Bible study on the Chinese New Year animals, beginning with the year of the pig. And from that year, 1983, until today, every single year, I have been studying every animal connected with the study of the dog, of the Chinese New Year animal. And that means this is my 35th year. Next year, I will come to the pig, and that will give me 3 cycles. I'm not sure any one of you has been with me for the 3 cycles in the study of the Chinese New Year animals. That means 36 years you have been listening to me. All right? But even then, if you listen to me, I think you have forgotten what I said 36 years ago. So it's forgivable if you don't remember, because I myself do not remember. So I have to decide by the end of this year whether I should carry on with the study or stop there. I should stop there. I would like to stop there to end my 3 cycles. But at the same time, I began the study of the Chinese New Year animals on PowerPoint like this in the year 2010. That means I have not completed 1 cycle of it. I would like to have in my library all my studies in PowerPoint from the beginning to the end. So if I decide to continue, I shall continue to 2007, 2008, 2009 and stop there. Lord willing, if the Lord allows me to live another 3 more years. Now let's begin. The concepts attached to the dog. Firstly, the occurrences of the dog as we see in the Bible. Now the word dog is translated from the Hebrew Caleb and the Greek Kuon. And that's where you get the name Caleb and Joshua. Caleb was a dog. A dog is what his name meant. Now the word dog in singular occurs 15 times in 15 verses. And the plural form dogs 24 times in 23 verses. The word dog first occurs in Old Testament in Exodus 11:7 when God shut the barking of the dogs when the Passover was instituted. I'll talk more about that later on. And then in the New Testament, it occurs once only in 2 Peter 2:22 when the dogs are regarded as going back to their own vomits. The last in the Old Testament occurrence of dog is in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 4, where we are told that living is much better because it has a hope, and it is better to have a living dog rather than a dead lion. Dogs in the plural form occurs in the Old Testament, Exodus 22:31, where dogs are given flesh to eat. And then in the New Testament, Matthew 7 verse 6, we are told not to give holy things unto the dog. And the last occurrence will be in Jeremiah 15:3 and the New Testament, Revelation 22:5. Alright, these are just statistics for those of you who are interested in doing a detailed study of the word dog in the scriptures. The occasions. Now, the word dog or dogs is used in various ways. First, let us look at the references which have to do with the dog being used in their natural ways. In other words, the dog as an animal. Dogs could be savage apart from being street walkers and scavengers. For example, we find that dogs licked the sores on Lazarus' body. When he was sitting at the entrance of the rich man, he was very, very sore stricken, and we find that dogs came to lick his sores in Luke 16:21. Then we find that dogs again appeared in the case of King Ahab. King Ahab decided to go to battle under the guise of King Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah. He thought that by disguising himself, he could escape from his enemies. But when the enemies discovered that he was not the king, when the enemies discovered that King Jehoshaphat as disguised was not Jehoshaphat but Ahab, they went after him, and then one of them shot an arrow and it went through the armor and he got killed. And we find that after that his body and his chariot was taken back to Samaria and blood was spattered all over the chariot, and the dogs came to lick up the blood. We find again dogs appearing in the case of Jezebel, who tried to kill Elijah the prophet. Now Jezebel was standing on the wall of the fort above the entrance, and we find that Jehu came, and then Jehu asked the eunuchs beside or behind her to push her down from the wall, and she fell to the ground, and then Jehu used his chariot to roll over her and then left her there. But then he had a second thought. I must not leave my king's daughter, because Jezebel was after all a king's daughter, not buried. According to his Jewish custom, she should be properly buried. And so he went back, he sent people to go back to bury her. But when they went back, they found that the body had been eaten up by the dogs who were there. So we find the performances of these dogs in the Old Testament. We find that the dog is also presented to us in the Bible in a metaphorical sense. In other words, in the figurative sense. For example, we find that in Deuteronomy 23 and 18, the Lord said, I do not want any money collected from dogs to be put into my treasury. What are the dogs? The dogs referred to were the masculine, the male prostitutes in the temple. Any money earned by these male prostitutes should not be put into the treasury of the Lord. And God regarded them as dogs. A good lesson for us to learn that even as sometimes Christians, churches, we require funds, we need to be sure that these funds come from the Lord's people and not from those who do not know the Lord. The Lord is to be worshipped by His people and not by those who do not know Him. Goliath saw David coming to him to challenge him with stones and with staves, his shepherd's rod. And he said, what do you think I am? I am a dog? So that's how he used the word dog. He referred to himself as a dog. And then, in 2 Samuel 9:8, we find that David was chased by King Saul. And when David had opportunities to slay King Saul, he did not. One day he happened to put King Saul, so-called, at his feet and said, look, I could have killed you in agenda, but I did not. Why are you chasing me? Why are you killing me? Am I a dog that you should chase me like this? So there's another use of the dog in the scriptures. Then in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 6, the Lord denounced those who could not discern holy things as dogs. Cast not the pearl before swine, nor holy things unto the dogs. And so we find that the dogs are not regarded in the scriptures as good. Whether naturally or metaphorically, dogs are not presented well to us. Paul, again in Philippians 3:2, directed a warning against the Judaizers. The Judaizers wanted the Christians who had become Christians to go back to keep the law, to keep the Sabbath, to be circumcised. Paul said, these people who teach you such things are like dogs. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 2. Christians who have been delivered from sin, returning to their old ways, are regarded as dogs. 2 Peter 2, 21, 22. What do we read there? We read that dogs, they are like dogs returning to their vomit, or pigs returning to their holes to wallow in the mud. These, of course, are not Christians. This verse has been misinterpreted. Some say that Christians can be lost, so that they are like those dogs who go back to their old vomit. These are not Christians. They are people who profess to be Christians. They say they are Christians, but they are not actually Christians and they have not been born again. And it's not surprising, therefore, that they go back to their old ways. And when they do so, they are like dogs returning to their vomit. You know, you have seen before how a dog has vomited out, and after vomiting it out, It will go away, then later on it will come back, and it will lick up its vomit again. Now, this is the condition of those who profess to be Christians, then later on turn back and go back to their old ways. They're like dogs vomiting, going back to their vomits. Or like pigs going back to the mire and then wallow in the mud when they have already been cleansed and made clean. Those who do the commandments of God have the deed to the tree of life. Those who do not are dogs, as with others, with their wicked deeds. Revelation chapter 22 verse 14 and 15 tells us this, that those who obey the commandments of the Lord, they have a right to the tree of life. Whereas those who have not known the Lord Jesus Christ, they are outside the city gates of heaven. They are not allowed to enter in. Why? Because they do not have life. They do not have eternal life. And they are together with the murderers, with the sorcerers, with all the sinners outside the city gate. And so these are dogs. Now there comes these odd texts in the scriptures about dogs. Somehow or other, the word dog, the animal dog, is associated with another animal. We have the mention of the dog and the pig together in quite a few of these Bible verses in the scriptures. Dogs and pigs. For example, Matthew 7:6, I quoted this again and again. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. Again, 2 Peter 2:22, a dog returns to its vomit, a sow to her wallowing in the mud. That's what I referred to just now. Again, we find whoever offers a lamb is like one who breaks a dog's neck. Whoever makes a grain offering is like one who presents pig's blood. Just now, this morning, I read this verse from Isaiah chapter 66, verse 3. That those who come to worship God with a heart not sincere, not a contrite heart, but who in name only, just with their mouths seek to worship God, but their hearts are far away from God. They give praise, but that act of giving praise is just like offering a lamb. But it is of no value in the sight of God. That act of offering a lamb is the same as you take a dog and break the neck of the dog. A dog is an unclean animal. And you break the neck of the dog over on the altar as a sacrifice. God is definitely not accepting that. Or it may be that when you should be bringing a new offering, a grain offering unto the Lord, and you do so, but your heart is not right. It's just like bringing a pig and shedding its blood on the altar. God will not accept that, because all these are unclean. Your heart is unclean. How can you be coming to the Lord to worship God? And so it's a lesson for us to learn. That when we come to worship God, we need to have clean hearts, we need to have a contrite heart in order to worship God. You can of course compare that to Exodus chapter 13 verse 13 about and 34:20 about why a dog is being referred to, but we have no time for that. Interestingly, this year is the year of the dog. Next year is the year of the pig. So these 2 years are no good years as far as the scriptures are concerned. The year of the dog and the year of the pig, they are good friends. They can be good friends. But then they may not be good in the sight of the Lord. We have the year of the dog, 2018, and we have the year of the pig, 2019. So we are going through 2 bad years as far as the Lord is concerned. Let us be watchful, alright? We have talked about the dog, and I said the dog is bad. Now let's talk about the dung. Terrible, huh? On Chinese, it's not time to talk about the dung. Chinese do not like it. Now, in Philippians 3 verse 8, Paul says, come all things but dung, that I may win Christ. What has dung got to do with dogs? Why bring it here in our study of the dog? Dung in the King James Version is translated rubbish in the NIV, and it's actually the Greek word skubalalon. And skubalalon means what is thrown to the dogs. Or worse, it means the dog's refuse, the dog's dung. That's what it is. All those things which hamper me from having a good relationship with the Lord, I count them as nothing but as dog's dung, as dog's refuse. That which is no good, that which is unclean, away with it. I would have nothing to do with that. Paul's resolve in life was to win and know Christ. May we treat our desire to be with Christ, to be like Christ, to be like that, that all other things to be thrown away in order that we may win Christ. To do this, he regarded all things gained as loss and as rubbish. Philippians 3:8. If they hampered in his relationship with and progress in Christ, he would discard them and throw them to the dogs. So, the best thing is, in this year of the dog, let us throw it away. Let this be our New Year's resolution for 2018, for the Chinese New Year. I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them dog's dung, rubbish to be thrown to the dogs, that I may gain Christ. May we be able to do this year of the dog, because this is the best resolution that we can have ever for this year if we have not made our resolution. Now, there's another use of the dog in the scriptures, and it is the dog in the diminutive form. What does that mean? The dog in its miniature form, a small dog, and that is a puppy, is kruon. And it's used a very, very, very special way. This word, small puppy, you know, small puppies, they are very cute, and therefore they are treated as pets. And the Lord uses it in Matthew 15, 26, 27, Mark 7, 27, 28. Let us look at it. The comparison associated with this small puppy. We were dogs saved by grace. We were Gentile dogs. Mark 15, 26, 27, a woman came to the Lord. Lord, please heal my daughter, because my daughter is demon-possessed. Heal her. And the dog said, look, and the Lord Jesus said, look, I am come for the lost soul, a lost people of Israel. So I must go to them first. Surely, I have got to give bread to the children on the table. And of course, by children, he would mean the Jews. The Jews that to whom he had come to save, the lost tribes. The woman said, Lord, it's true. Priority should be given to the children at the table. But as the children eat, some of the bread may fall down from the floor or to the floor as crumbs. Lord, give me this crumb. She was so humble. In other words, what she was saying is, Lord, true, you have come for the Jews. But we who are Gentiles, we are hoping for some leftover from what you have given to the Jews, and if they do not want to have it, please give to us. And the Lord was taken up with so much great faith of this woman. The gospel in the first place was preached unto the Jews, the children at the table. Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's first preached unto the Jews and then to the Gentiles. So the Jew was the first to hear the gospel, the word, but they refused. They rejected, and children refused the bread, and the bread came down on the floor as crumbs to us Gentiles, and we would be the Gentile dogs taking the crumbs from the table. The Gentiles came to blessing because the Jews rejected the gospel. John 1:11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Romans 11:11-12, the Jews fell away, and the Gentiles had come to take their place. And so that's why we have come into blessing, because the Jews had refused. But the God will punish the Jews for refusing the Messiah. And this morning we heard that they will have to go through the great tribulation. Whereas we would be exempted from that great tribulation. We will go and be raptured into heaven before the great tribulation. What a blessed position to be in. Right. So we were Gentile dogs. We were also grace-saved dogs. Now, in 2 Samuel 9:8, Mephibosheth was invited by King David, to come to his table, to sit at his table. Now, Mephibosheth was a lame, crippled boy. By that time, he was a man, of course, and he was the grandson of King Saul. But because of Jonathan's sake, he was invited by David to sit at his table. And he said, "I'm not worthy that you should show me so much grace. I'm a dead dog, unworthy." A dead dog will refer to the unworthiness of a person. And Mephibosheth represents all of us Gentiles who are unworthy to be invited to the king's table to be to take supper with him. We are dead dogs. Dead dog. A dog is already unclean. Dead, doubly unclean. Therefore, we are doubly bad sinners. We were dead in trespass and sins, number one. Conceived in sin, Psalm 51:5. Then we who committed sins, that's why we came doubly bad. We inherited sins, we also committed sins, and we were doubly dead. We are confirmed sinners. So, we do not deserve to be saved, but Christ died for our sins and saved us by grace through Him. Ephesians 2:8. Right. We were dogs saved by grace, but we are more than dogs. We are no more dogs before God. Look what happened. Dogs in Psalm, they are referred to as street walkers searching for the food at the streets for food. They will go out in the evening and they'll come back in the evening searching for food until night time if needed to be, and so on. Such is the description of sinners, and we find that the sinners are referred to as the dogs who come back during after the day. Search for food to places where they were, and then starting to stray away and to search for some more food, like sinners. But we were sinners taken off the streets to sup in the master's house. Now the Lord himself told a story of a rich man who had a supper made, and he invited all the people to come to supper, but they made all sorts of excuses. They did not want to come. And the Lord said, "Go into the highways and byways. Go into the streets and invite the poor people to come in to sup with him." And so we have this parable being told to us. In order that we may win and know Christ, do not let the following be in the way. Some who refused to come to the supper invited by the rich man was because, "Oh, I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me, I cannot go." Another says, "I have just bought oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me." Another one says, "I got married. So do not let our property, our possessions, our partners be in the way as we come to relate ourselves rightly to the Lord this year of 2018. Dogs are not only street walkers, dogs are scavengers. Look at what they eat and what we eat. They eat dead animals. Exodus 22:31. It says there, "If you find any dead flesh, it torn up by animals. Don't eat. You are not allowed to eat. This dead flesh must be given to the dogs, not for human consumption. And yet we are told in 2 Samuel 9:10 that we have been invited to the king's table to sup at the king's table. We are told dogs eat human flesh, as in the case of Jezebel. And we also are supposed to eat flesh. The Lord Himself said that he that eateth of my flesh and drinketh of my blood shall have eternal life. And what does the Lord mean? To eat of his flesh and to take of his blood. That John chapter 6 verse 35, if you compare the verses together, you'll find that he that cometh after me, or he that cometh unto me, shall have eternal life. So to eat of the flesh of the Lord and to drink of the blood of the Lord is to come to him, that we may have eternal life. And so we find we are no more dogs. We are saved by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, because we are no more dogs, let us not behave as dogs. They are no good. Be not as dumb dogs that cannot bark, as we read in Isaiah 56:10. Now, I have no time to turn to these verses, but let me just refer to them very briefly. Now, in Luke chapter 1 verse 13, Zechariah was promised a child, but he did not quite believe it at the beginning, and God struck him dumb. Dumb. Zechariah. Alright? Now, later on, when the child was born, that would be John the Baptist, when he was born, and he was to be named, the mother and all the other relatives gave him, would like to give him all sorts of names. And John protested. In his dumbness, he asked for a paper, and he wrote on that paper, his name must be called John. And because of that act, suddenly he began to talk. The Lord allowed him to speak. He is no more dumb. Verse 64 of chapter 1. Why? He believed in God, because God, he now knew that God, what God had said, had come true, that he was going to have a son. He beheld God, and then he was bold in praising God and said, the child's name must be John. Now today we come to worship the Lord. Let us not be dumb. Let us be who, those of us who believe in God, who see God as he is, let us be bold in praising God. We do pray and trust that more of the brethren here will stand up to praise God as we meet week by week. Be not as sleeping dogs, lying down and loving to slumber, as we read in Isaiah 56 verse 10, but let us be awake. What is high time for us to wake up, to walk, to watch, and to work as a Christian. So, these are things that we should keep in mind for this year, 2018. Behave not as dogs. Be not as greedy dogs, out for gain and never having enough. Isaiah 56:11, referring to the shepherd dogs of the evil pastors, evil shepherds. They are greedy dogs, out for gain. But we are different. We are well-contented Christians. Philippians 4. Paul says, in whatever state I am, to be content. So be not as net-broken dogs, offering sacrifices without spirit and sincerity. I explained what that meant already just now. Net-broken dogs. In Isaiah 66 verse 2 and 3, we offer spiritual sacrifices from a contrite heart. 1 Peter 2:5, let's offer spiritual sacrifices unto God, which is will bring glory to him. And Psalm 51 verse 7, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. So let us always come every Sunday to the Lord's table to worship him with a contrite heart, remembering him for who he is, we for who we are. Beware of wild vomiting dogs. They are godless and they are gross. They go back to their own vomit. These are the treacherous teachers who seek to ensure others in the bondage of the law, as we read in Philippians 3:2. They are filthy, foul followers who seek to entangle others in backtracking into lust. And this was quoted from in 2 Peter 2, 19-22 from Proverbs 26:11, that these people who follow them are fools returning to their folly. So let us not be fools returning to our folly of not following the Lord and worshipping the Lord, going back like dogs to their vomits. Let us treasure the pearl that has been cast before us. Worship the Lord in all His worthiness. Conclusion. In this year of the dog, therefore, consider all things rubbish, that we may gain Christ. Be as dogs, saved by grace, well contented in Him, walking with Him, working with Him, worshipping Him. Be not the dog that is dead, dumb, and directionless, walking the streets and scavenging for crumbs that the world offers when you fish at the Lord's table. Beware of wolves in sheep's clothing. They are dangerous dogs. Actually, I have one section on elders as shepherd dogs to care for the sheep. But I have left it out because of time. Perhaps I may refer to it part two. And these are the things elders must beware of, so that they will make sure that the sheep under their care do not fall prey to all these, that these dangerous dogs not come in to entangle them into the bondage of sin, superstition, and scare, that they will have confidence in the Lord. So with that, I close. Much has been said about the dog. Despite what is said about the dog, let us remind ourselves that dogs are among God's creations, and those of us who keep pet dogs still need to love, care, and cherish them as we would any of God's beautiful creatures. Do not, because of what I've said about all these things about dogs, you go back, if you have a dog, you start punishing the dogs. Please don't. Please don't. Dogs are good pets. I love dogs. You must love dogs. But the dogs in the Bible are bad. That's all that I have to say. He has made everything beautiful in His name. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from the beginning. May the Lord bless all of us as I wish you again a blessed Chinese New Year. The Lord bless. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Thine grace shown to us, that we at one time were dogs, dead dogs, but in Thine grace Thou hast invited us to Thy table to sup with Thee, to be what as children feasting upon the table. We thank You, Lord, for Thy mercy and for Thy grace. And we do pray that from now onwards we may know in this year of the dog to be not as dogs, but at the same time, Lord, to seek to be what Thou would have us to be, and not to allow any property, possessions, or any other thing to hamper us from our progress in our relationship with Thee. Bless us, Lord, for this coming Chinese New Year. We do pray that our children, our family members, grandchildren, and friends, all, and as well as those in this assembly, may be greatly blessed of Thee for this year. We ask these things in the blessed name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.